Okay, we're on Perek Mem, page Nun Dalit, on top, 198 at the bottom. Let's see how far we got. Okay, we're going to start. Nine lines to the end of the page. Okay, now the Rebbe in the previous parak was saying that if you learn something for the wrong purposes, it goes nowhere. But if you learn it for negative reasons, to become famous or great or rich or whatever it is, then the learning and the mitzvahs you do is lowered into evil. It's mamish lowered into evil until you do tshuva. But he says at the beginning of Perek Mem, as long as you didn't do tshuva, the truth is all the kedusha you did is really lowered into klipa, into evil. And he says that avol Torah shelo lishma mamish, but Torah for the wrong reasons, like to be a scholar or whatever it is, ein elo klal lemaila, it doesn't go at all anywhere up. Even to the chambers of the angels. By the way, this is where we went into last week, the whole thing where Gan Eden is. Up, down, you know, remember that? The Torah that you learn remains down here, which is the dwelling place of evil. That means sometimes you could be learning Torah, you could be doing mitzvahs, but it's really evil. When you do it for the wrong purpose, for negative purposes. If you do mitzvahs, you should become famous and everybody should say how great you are. You learn Torah and everybody say how great you are. Bottom line is, not only is it not going up, it stays down here in the world of evil. Nevertheless, we learned before, because the Gemara says you're going to eventually do tshuva this time around or next time around. So you should do it anyway, because the tshuva will elevate everything that you put into evil, will be elevated back into Kedusha. By the way, and this is a unique thing, if you think about it. Without Chassidus, you don't even dream this. You could be a big scholar, and it could be all evil. You could be a Torah scholar, brilliant Torah scholar, and it could all be from Klipa. Why? Because you're learning it for the wrong reasons. And what's so bad about it? You know what's so bad about it? You're using God for your own gratification. That's chutzpah. Think about it. I'm using Torah to become famous. So I'm using God that I should become great. That is lowered actually into the world of klipa. And he says in Kamesh Kosev B'Zayar, like it says in the Zayar on the Pasuk, that Shlomo HaMelech says, Ma Yisrin La'adam. Shlomo HaMelech says, what's the value of all the work that we do under the sun anyway? It's worthless. It's a waste of time. Everything is nothing. B'chol amoli, what is the advantage of a person with all the work? Sheyamo tachas ha-shemesh, that you do under the sun. And he says, b'chol amoli. Shlomo HaMelech says, what is the advantage of all your effort? Every effort means, the Zayar says, afilu amalo de'iraisa. Shlomo HaMelech says like this, if it remains under the sun, in a spiritual sense, if it remains in this world of evil, what did you accomplish with your learning? You didn't accomplish anything with the learning. Or, if he does it, the Zohar says, begain yakre to become famous. In other words, if you're learning Torah for the wrong reason, Shlomo HaMelech says, it's worthless what you're doing. It's not going anywhere. And that's why it's so important, both halachically and definitely according to Chassidus, that a person realizes when they learn Torah that there's a level of sanctity, that they're learning it not for themselves, they're learning it for Hashem. And that's why, like we learned many times, what the Gemara says, the land was destroyed because they didn't say the brachas before learning. Even if you do a mitzvah without a bracha, you still did a mitzvah. But the bracha of learning is nice in HaTorah to remember it's Hashem's Torah. And if you're learning it because it's Hashem's Torah, that's holy. If you're learning it because I want to gain knowledge by it, then it's not God's Torah. Then you're learning it for yourself, and then it's not holy, and it's not pure. And by the way, along the same lines, this is the concept I learned many, many times. People have an attitude, to tell you the truth, even religious people, they are afraid to admit it, that if I don't understand something in Torah, the Torah is wrong. Did you ever say it doesn't make sense? Did you ever say in learning it doesn't make sense?
But that's about one specific thing.
One second. No, that's not what you said. I don't mean you. You probably did, by the way. In this class also, I'm sure. Did you, a person in learning says it doesn't make sense? Yes or no?
They say.
Okay, what does that mean? When I was a kid, I remember 8, 9 years old, obviously it was a long, long time ago, very long time ago, and I still remember it. I learned in a regular yeshiva in Chicago, it was not a Chabad school, and this Rebbe of ours was a Misnagid. If a kid in class said, you know, kids were 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old maybe, we said, Rebbe, the Gemara doesn't make sense. He threw us out of the class, he said, get out, threw us out for 30 seconds, just to get out, and he calls us back and says, the Gemara makes sense, you don't make sense. Just remember that. The Gemara makes sense, you don't. But meanwhile, he threw us out of the class just to get his point across, and then he called us right back in. And he said, and we learned, you know, you don't say the Gemara doesn't make sense. People say it, they don't necessarily mean it. But sometimes you learn a halacha that really doesn't make sense, and you say, wow, this is weird. Or it doesn't make sense. That attitude is completely negative to the whole sanctity of Torah. In other words, when it comes to learning Torah with purity, realizing that it's Hashem's Torah, the miracle is not that we don't understand. The miracle is how we think we understand anything that we do understand. Because if Torah is Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's wisdom is infinite. If Hashem's wisdom is infinite, it's mathematically impossible for a finite mind to understand it. So the truth is, and the reality of it is, we don't understand anything in Torah. And take it a step further, to extrapolate it, we don't understand anything God does. And anything that we think we understand why God does, is wrong. Anything we understand in Torah, the greatness of Hashem is, He took His infinite wisdom and made it in a way that a finite mind on its level can understand it, at the same time not to begin understanding it. But when a person says it doesn't make sense, they usually don't mean because it's above my understanding. It doesn't make sense because my understanding says differently. Yeah, that's what it means. And therefore, when a person learns Torah, they have to understand the sanctity and the purity of Torah, keeping in mind Hashem's wisdom, and that it's learned not for personal fame and gain. They're learning it because this binds into Hashem, and this is what Hashem wants, because how in the world is it proper to take Hashem's priceless gem and use it for personal gratification? That's wrong. And therefore it's lower down into Klipa. This is what the Gemara says. Ashrei mi shebal lekan. Next page. Ashrei mi shebal lekan. Fortunate is the one that comes here to Gan Eden with Talmud biyadei, and his Talmud is in his hand. So b'chal, it's a very interesting Gemara. There's a lot, Chassidus discussed this Gemara a lot. The Gemara says, fortunate is one that comes up here to Gan Eden with the learning in his hand. So the obvious question, the learning is not in your hand, learning is in your brain. Okay? So sometimes the Chassidus says the answer is, what the Gemara means is that the learning came into action. Fortunate one that the learning didn't stay only in the mind and you didn't practice. You practice what you learned. Here the Alter Rebbe says no. What does it mean? The Alter Rebbe says pirush shlei nisha lamata ba'ilam hazeh. That when you go up to Gan Eden, you take the Torah with you. But if you learn for the wrong reasons, the Torah stays down here. You go up there, and the Torah is down here that you learned. So you don't have it in your hand. Meaning, what the Gemara is actually saying, fortunate is one that learned Torah for the right purposes, for the right kavana, and then the Torah goes up. Otherwise, the Torah stays down here, the neshama goes up to Gan Eden, and you lost your luggage. And it's not retrieved so fast. You lost your luggage because the Torah stays down here, and your neshama goes up to Gan Eden. So a person has to realize when they learn Torah, what they're doing. And the importance of learning, how they're learning, and the kedusha of learning, and so on. Okay, so now the Alter Rebbe asks a very simple question. I'm going to say the question out because it's a long question, but it's a very simple question. The Alter Rebbe asks, if Torah and God is one, how could it be an evil? We're saying over here that if you learn Torah for the wrong reasons, you lower the Torah into evil. Right? The question is, if Torah and Hashem is synonymous, how can God be an evil-like? How can Hashem be lowered so low? Hashem is holy. How could holiness come into evil? So he says like this. Even though Torah and Hashem are all one, Hashem and his will are all the same thing, synonymous. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu il memali kol alma b'shava. And Hashem is all over the place. So how could we say that God's Torah is lowered into evil? If God's all over, how can there be evil, basically? So El Trebi says like this. Afo pikei, nevertheless, and our elim is shoven by my loss, and the worlds are not on the same level. And this is fundamental concepts of Chassidus and God, I guess, whatever. Is God all over? Yeah. So how come there's higher, lower, evil, good, this, that? If everything's God, how could there be any difference of anything? Huh? So he's saying the difference is only in the level of concealment. When you say evil, when you say something is evil, it means it's an extremely great concealment of Hashem. Kedusha is a less concealment of Hashem. The holier the thing, the less concealment there is of Hashem. The lower the thing, the more evil the thing, the lower and more concealed godliness is. So godliness is holy, Torah is holy, the only question is how much we cover it. The covering and uncovering, that's our doing. Correct. So why can't you bow down to an idol? Is an idol Hashem? Huh? Is this table Hashem? Are you allowed to bow down to a table? Are you allowed to or not? Why not? Because what? Is it God or isn't it God? What are you trying to say?
Still
saying that it's Hashem, so how could you make it so low? How could it be called evil if it's really still Hashem? I didn't say anything. Not yet. What is the definition of evil? What does that mean? Concealed good. That's true, by the way. That's what evil is. Evil is concealed goodness.
It's concealed.
What does that mean, though? It's cute vocabulary words. What does it mean in reality?
We can't see the goodness in it. Right, everything has to fit up.
But when it's concealed, that means it's concealed.
Let me tell you what life's all about. I'm not going to teach you the facts of life. I'm going to tell you the concept of life. The concept of life is, to put it into a few words, hide and go seek.
Like Hashem, it's hiding and go seek.
Hide and go seek is the name of the game.
And if no one seeks him, he's
upset. Now, 1 second.
That hurts his
feelings. There is a concept, by the way, it's a pasuk in Chumash. Ubikashtem misham and pashas v'eschanan. We read it on Tisha B'Av, we read it v'eschanan. Ubikashtem misham es Hashem alakecho metzasa ki sidrashenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. You should seek out from there Hashem. You will find him umatzasa when ki sidrashenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, when you will seek him with all your heart and soul. Okay? Which means like this. When, and this is mamish, we learned this already in the past. This is mamish, the game of hide and go seek. The parents play with kids. Okay? Hide and go seek means you hide, the kid looks for you, and when they find you, everybody gets excited. Usually the parents more than the kids, definitely the grandparents more than the grandkids. That's for sure. Now, L'cha'eda, if you think for a second, it's really a ridiculous game. Don't hide, and he won't have to go look for you. But that's not a game. What's the game? You hide, and they go look for you, and when they find you, it's a simchen shtetl. Okay? Now, Hashem likes this game. Don't ask me why Hashem's bored, not bored. I don't know why. And as the Alter Rebbe says, if a taiva freknish kinkasha, nisava kodesh baruch means Hashem had a taiva. And you can't ask why, because there is no answer, because it's something higher than seichel. It's in the essence of Hashem. Hashem has this game plan. Okay? Hashem says, let me tell you something. If I just reveal myself, that everybody sees me, and everybody understands what I'm doing, and everybody can, you know, bask in open godliness, and everybody sees that everything is good and everything is good, because in reality it is, there's no gain. Hashem says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hide. Shom. Zeh is when it's right in front of you. Shom is third person, like there, far away. Hashem says, I am going to hide. I will not be visible. I will not be felt. Okay, I'm hiding. What is the name of the game? I want you to go look for me and find me. How do we find Hashem? When you do a mitzvah, and you show that this physical paper is holy, i.e. godly, it's used for the purpose why Hashem made it, guess what? We found him. We found him. Okay, that's basically the name of the game. So Hashem creates a world and he hides. Now Hashem gave us free choice. We can hide Hashem more than Hashem is self-hidden. Hashem hides himself in the world. Even if there's no bad in the world, Hashem is hidden. Okay? Sometimes we, through our negativity and negative actions and whatever bad we do, we draw another curtain. We add another curtain of the concealment of God. Therefore, Hashem becomes more concealed. You do a mitzvah, you reveal holiness in the world. You eat chazer, you add evil into the world, meaning you add another additional concealment of the world that didn't exist there before. So now Hashem is more concealed. If Hashem is more concealed, it's obviously harder to find them. It takes more work to find them. That is the whole concept of what the world is all about. So everything is the concealment of what Hashem conceals and hides himself. What is our role? To go find him. That is, by doing positive mitzvahs, we find him. By not transgressing negative mitzvahs, we don't make more covering. We don't add more covering. God forbid, when somebody transgresses a negative commandment, they add more covering. What's the definition of evil?
An example. Nazis.
No. No. You're giving a Webster definition. That's wrong. Perek Vav of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe defines evil, anything which is not holy. An apple is evil. The table is evil. The cup is evil until a Jew deals with it.
That makes sense as to being concealed. Whole is something concealed. But when you say evil like that, I don't know how that's concealed. Godliness.
When somebody, God forbid, pulls a trigger on a gun to kill somebody, mm-hmm. is that act good or bad? It's not a true statement. If it's self-defense, is it good or bad? Huh?
It depends.
I mean, like, if it's self-defense, is it good or bad?
Self-defense.
Okay. So it's not necessarily bad. That was Stam. Okay, some just to disagree with you? Okay. I thought I'm from the disagreement people. Now, when somebody, God forbid, takes a knife and stabs somebody, somebody takes a gun, God forbid, and shoots somebody, somebody tortures somebody, okay? That is evil, correct? Now, who allowed the person to do it? Who gave the person the ability that his hand exists and it didn't disappear and that his hand can move? Who gave them that ability?
Hashem.
So is God making that evil happen? Yes or no? Yes. Does God want that evil to happen?
No. Or, well, maybe that's his plan. I don't know.
You're right. Does God want that evil to happen? If he didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Correct? So obviously God wants it to happen. But, so why am I punished? Because I am not punished that the evil was done. I'm punished that I had the choice to do it or not to do it, and I chose to do it. How many times did we learn when A kills B? Okay? Was B supposed to die? If B wasn't supposed to die, B wouldn't have died. Except there's a weird story in the Gemara in Chagiga about Miriam, but they took her. The story in the Gemara, the Malach Mavis was sent by Hashem to take. There were two Miriams. One was a laundress, the laundry, and the other one. Anyway, the Malach Mavis was told by Hashem, take that lady. By mistake, he took the wrong one. He came back up with the wrong one. So he said to Hashem, oh, what did I do now? Hashem said, okay, she's here, let her stay here. And go get the other one. Anyway, that Gemara needs to be understood, how it worked. But again, that lady's time obviously came to go. If not, the Malach Mavis couldn't have gotten her. Okay? So basically, did Hashem want it to happen? Yes. By the way, this is the whole topic of Saturday night, by the way. We're having a group, bad things don't happen to good people. Anyway, Hashem wanted it to happen. Yet, is it a concealment of God? Definitely. Because the person chose to do something that God told him not to do. That doesn't mean God didn't want it to happen. If God didn't want it to happen, trust me, it wouldn't have happened. Nothing happens if God doesn't want it to happen. Okay? the person that it happened to, it was because God wanted it to happen. And the proof of it is, God made you move your hand to kill the person, God forbid, or to hurt the person, or to do whatever it is. Okay? That is evil and our free choice. That's doing evil. Then there's another level of evil in the world that God created as evil, which is two parts. Elevatable evil, if there's such a word, and non-elevatable evil. Permissible things, apple, food, kosher objects, permissible things, that's evil, that could be elevated. You make a bracha on the apple, you serve Hashem with the power that you ate from the apple, you elevated the apple to Kedusha. Pig is forbidden, and therefore it's not elevatable. And therefore, even if you made a bracha on the pig, and you ate it, and served Hashem with the power of the pig never went anywhere.
That's still concealed.
Yeah. Then the concealment that we do by bad actions. We cause a greater concealment than Hashem himself made. Pig is Shalosh Klipos HaTumeis. No, that was God created it as total evil.
Okay.
What I'm telling you is there's evil that we do, mm-hmm. evil that we create, and there's evil that's essentially evil because God created it as evil. It's not the Webster Dictionary evil. This cup is not evil. But according to Chassidus, until somebody uses this cup and makes a bracha on the content in the... Right. Evil is anything which is not holy.
I cannot understand how it's a concealed godliness. If it's evil, if I believe it like what she said...
That's also concealed godliness.
I understand now, but I...
Then there's a level of concealed godliness, which is created concealed godliness. That God also wants us to change. And God says, do me a favor. I made enough evil in the world, don't make it more. By doing actions of evil. Okay.